So last summer, I attended the Animal Behavior Society conference, which was held in Portland, Oregon, conveniently nearby, and I was able to sit in on a fantastic symposium on anthropogenic wildlife behavior change. And after talking with the organizers, we all got very excited to run the symposium as a podcast series. So what is anthropogenic behavior change? Here to unpack that and a few other questions are the coordinators of the symposium, Dr. Liz Peterson, head of the Elizabeth K. Peterson Lab at Eastern Illinois University, Dr. Bruce Schulte, a university distinguished professor at Western Kentucky University, and Dr. Brett Seymour, assistant professor of biological sciences from the University of Texas at El Paso. Thank you for joining me. Let's set the Anthropocene. I'm wondering if you'll pull a few ideas of the main concepts around anthropogenic behavior change for our listeners that we're going to be talking about over the next few episodes.
The Anthropocene is a term that was coined by scientists to explain the sixth mass extinction event. The sixth mass extinction event is being caused by what we call anthropogenic stressors, or in other words, just human-mediated or human-caused stressors that impact populations and species and ecosystems around the globe.
We're part of the Conservation Behavior Committee for the Animal Behavior Society. So this is a group of a couple hundred Animal Behavior Society members that are really interested in how to conserve natural animal behaviors. And really what most of our animals are facing, the ones that we're studying, are anthropogenic stressors, right? So human stressors. And right now, especially in the last decade, really last 5 years, there's been a lot of questions that have been posited focused on how human disturbance is altering animal behavior. So it's a very pressing time. There's all these different pressures, and they're becoming more and more apparent, right? All the fires that were happening, the urbanization, of course, the different pollution, whether this is chemical pollution or sensory pollution. So there's a lot of reasons to do this. And it seemed like a very good time to have a symposium. And yeah, I will let Bruce and Liz add anything to it, but I think the time is right. And really, we probably should have something like this every year to talk about which specific pressures are really a threat to natural animal behaviors.
Thank you. Bruce, do you want to comment on that as well?
I think what we're trying to move on is this idea of how behavioral work can contribute to mitigation of human impacts. It's sort of easy to fall into the side of the story that it's all humans' fault and it's all a human problem. And if you do that as a scientist, you wind up going down a rabbit hole, if you will, just sort of shrouding yourself in your own little research project and trying to ignore all the things that are happening to the environment so that you can keep your studies going. But I think more and more that the human impact is becoming so pervasive, and we have to be able to figure out a way to use human activity in a positive way to keep our organism alive and their environments intact. And the tools that we have in behavior is attractive because it appeals to people. People understand behavior. People observe behavior every day of their lives, between each other, between animals, between themselves and their pets. That bridge of behavior is the other motivation for trying to do this in a scientific way, but also have these outlets like this podcast to reach out to the broader public.
Yeah, thank you. Liz, do you want to make a comment as well?
Sure. I think one way too that conservation behavior is really important is that it can offer management strategies to start conserving species. And I work with a lot of managers, and they tell me often that a lot of the management problems that they have for conserving a species of conservation concern really come down to understanding the behavior of the species that they're studying, mm-hmm. and then how important it is to understand that behavior, but then develop strategies that these species will respond to because it lends to their natural behavior. And so conservation behavior really has an important place in solving conservation crises in today's climate.
How can one person's actions affect something as big as global wildlife behavior change? So through this series, we're going to try to help us all just wrap our heads around what anthropogenic behavior change really means on a larger and a smaller scale. We're going to talk about our relationship with the natural world on a systematic and a personal level. And hopefully by the end of it, understand a little bit better our own roles within this changing world. You'll hear more from Liz, Bruce, and Brett, along with many of their colleagues. But unlike other series, we're going to be releasing this series in two drops, the first half on May 6th and the second a week later on May 13th. That's right, you can binge it. And also, please send me your messages about how you enjoyed the episodes and what you learned. I'd love to share them so you can all learn from each other. Thank you for joining me on this very special series on anthropogenic behavior change, how we affect the world, and the behaviors we need to cultivate to make sure that change is positive. Thank you for joining me as we ask the question, what's the deal with anthropogenic behavior change?
So, what do you think is the deal with animals?